This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama badu. My brothers and sisters, this is the second khutbah in Ramadan. I want to remind myself and you, as we have come today, this Jummah is the 11th of Ramadan. One third of Ramadan is over already. And so it is a good idea to take stock of what we gained, what we still need to do, and make sure that we do it before the month is gone. The purpose of fasting is not to fast, but to transform our lives and put ourselves on the path of success in this world and the next. Ramadan comes to reset our standard, the criterion of what has value and what doesn't. When we stay away from even the halal during the hours of daylight, we are emphasizing for ourselves that what makes something good and valuable is not the thing itself, but whether it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. That is the meaning of Ubudiyyah. The slave has no will of his own. His will is the will of his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for him, and not only accepts it, but is pleased with it. This is the essence of Ridha bil Qada, to be pleased with the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote for us. That is the first lesson. Obedience is the essence of Islam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, which means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Whether you reveal what is in your hearts or conceal it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to account for it. He forgives whoever He wills and punishes whoever He wills, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most capable of everything. When this ayah was revealed, and we know this from the asbab and nuzul of this ayah, the Sahaba went to Rasulullah and knelt before him, went down on their knees before him, and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that He will hold us accountable for our thoughts and desires and emotions. We have control over our speech and actions, but we have no control over our thoughts and desires. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes us for that, we will be destroyed. Now, ask yourself, before I tell you what happened, ask yourself if this doesn't sound like a reasonable plea. But see the response of Rasulullah ﷺ to this. His blessed face became red with anger. He asked them, he demanded, will you be like those who, when they received the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would say, we hear, but we will not obey. Sami'na wa asayna. Say, we hear and we obey. Forgive us, our Rabb, to you is our return. Say, qul, sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. The Sahaba didn't argue. They didn't make excuses. They didn't even hesitate. They obeyed him instantly. And they said, سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. Ask what happened then. Did anything happen? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And nothing happened for 1 year. When nothing happened, they did not know that this was a, this, that this was going to be for a period of 1 year and then something will happen. For 12 months, the Muslims lived with the knowledge and belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would hold them accountable even for their thoughts and desires. That was the toughest training imaginable to inculcate the fundamental and greatest of all virtues, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not any way you like, in the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obey Allah the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you to obey Allah. Then after 12 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعَنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. The messenger firmly believes in what has been revealed to him from his Rabb, and so do the believers. Who is saying this? Who is declaring this? Who is being the witness for Rasulullah SAW and the Sahaba? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam firmly believes in what has been revealed to him from his Rabb, and so do the believers. They all believe in Allah and his malaika, his angels, his books, his messengers, and they proclaim and they say, we make no distinction between any of his messengers, and they say, سَمَعَنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. They say, we hear and we obey and we seek forgiveness of our Lord, of our Rabb. We seek forgiveness, O our Rabb, جَلَّ جَلَلُهُ, and to you alone is the final return. My brothers and sisters, the reward of obedience is sweet and honorable. When they obeyed him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them by repeating the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his word. The Sahaba Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, قُلْ سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. The Sahaba repeated the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 12 months later sent down the very same words as his word to be recited in Salah until the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Sahaba relief and honored them by teaching them this beautiful dua. Let us reflect on the value of the dua. The value of a dua that is taught by the one who will accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Allah revealed, which means Allah does not require of any soul more than what it can afford. Allah will not give more taklif than you can bear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you more difficulties or more trials than you can bear. All good will be for its own benefit and all evil will be its own loss. The believers make dua. Our Rabb, do not punish us if we forget or make a mistake. Our Rabb, do not place a burden on us like the one you placed on those before us. Our Rabb, do not burden us with what we cannot bear. Pardon us, forgive us, and have mercy on us. You are our only guardian. So grant us victory over our enemies, the disbelievers. Fasting comes to reinforce this primordial and fundamental message that all virtue, blessing and success starts with obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making His will be the guiding light in our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate our hearts with His light and to drive out the darkness of fear and depression and despair. As we face a hostile world today only because we are Muslim, it must be clear that the only source of support and protection we can always, always, always rely on is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. So let us repair our bridge to Him. As I mentioned before, the first 10 days of Ramadan are over and we have entered the second Ashara. It is important to take stock of where we are and what we need to do to ensure that we finish strong. Here is what I suggest for all of us. Number one, revisit the goals we set for Ramadan. If you did not set any goals, do so right now and check how you are doing with respect to achieving your goals. Number two, identify the blocks and retardants to your success and remove them. They will be time wasters, pointless conversation about things not in our control, low achiever friends who will drag you down to their level, distractions in your day combined with the inability to say no. Number three, apply the start, stop, continue standard and see what we intended with each and if we are on track. What did you intend to start? Did you start it? What did you intend to stop? Did you stop it? What did you intend to continue, and are you continuing that with more consciousness and with more energy? Remember that metrics is the evidence of existence. If you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. Good intentions are not followed. Good intentions which are not followed by action are useless. And number four, finally, having identified all of these things, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud and ask for His help to get closer to Him, because that is the purpose of Ramadan. That is why in the middle of the ayat related to fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ وَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about me, I am truly near. When they ask me, I am near. I respond to their dua, to their prayer when they call upon me. So let them obey me and believe in me. Perhaps they will be guided to the right way. Every perhaps, la'alla in the Quran is at the level of yaqeen. Definitely it will happen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when the slave only asked about Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah to assure him that he is near. When the slave is close to Allah, he asks Allah for his needs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assures the slave that He will answer his supplication, his dua. Then Allah shows him what makes the supplication, the dua, worthy of being accepted and answered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the conditions for dua to be accepted. Let them obey me and believe in me. Obedience is the key, and obedience with knowledge of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is engenders and strengthens iman, belief. Obedience is proof of iman. When the heart of the slave is illuminated by the noor of the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, filled with gratitude to Him for all His blessings, the first and most critical of which is Tawheed, then his immediate response is to make istighfar and seek forgiveness. The surest sign of khashyatullah is the frequency of istighfar that a slave makes. Making istighfar is also a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullah, they said, when Allah loves a slave and wants to do him a favor, he reminds him of his sins frequently so that he can seek forgiveness again and again and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ وَمَثْوَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Muhammad. He said, so know well, wa'alam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no God worthy of worship. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And seek forgiveness for your shortcomings and for the sins of the believing men and women. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully knows your movements and places of rest, O people. Surah Muhammad is a Madani surah. Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba spent 13 years perfecting their iman in Makkah before going to Medina. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing tawheed for Rasulullah ﷺ and ordering him to seek forgiveness for himself and his followers, the believing men and women, among whom we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to count us. This is an ayah of blessing and mercy for Rasulullah ﷺ and us, and so let us make istighfar often. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والله إني لأستغفر الله وأتوب إليه في اليوم أكثر من 70 مرة. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, by Allah, I seek forgiveness from Allah and I repent to him more than 70 times in a day. More than 70 times in a day. As I mentioned last Friday, Ramadan is a time for reflection and introspection. A time for not only incremental change, but transformation. A time for reorienting ourselves to Jannah. A time to reset our goals and our lives such that we achieve those goals. Let us not waste that opportunity, because soon it will be gone. Change means action. So let's act. The reward for following the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and seeking forgiveness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but Allah would never punish them while you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were among them, nor would he ever punish them if they prayed for forgiveness, as long as they keep seeking forgiveness. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man akthara min al-istighfari ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli hammin farjan wa min kulli diqin makhrajan wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, whoever increases his du'as, his prayers for forgiveness, whoever increases his istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him relief from every worry, a way out from every hardship, and provide for him in ways that he does not expect. And this is in Sahih Muslim, it's a Sahih Hadith, in Musnad Ahmad. In Tafsir al-Qurtubi, it says a man complained to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi about a drought. And Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said to him, make istighfar. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Another man came to him and complained of poverty, and he said, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Ask Allah to forgive you. Another man said to him, please make dua for me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless me with a child. And he said, you pray to Allah for forgiveness. And another complained to him that his garden was dry, there was no irrigation in his fields, in his garden. And Hasan Basri rahmatullahi said to him, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He was asked about this, about why he said the same thing, gave the same advice to so many people. And he said, this is not my opinion, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask for forgiveness from your Rabb. Verily, He is oft forgiving. He will send rain to you in abundance and give you an increase in wealth and children and bestow on you gardens and bestow on you rivers. My brothers and sisters, this is the opportunity for us to transform our lives. It's the opportunity for us to get and gain the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's not waste that opportunity. Let us use it and maximize it and leverage it to ensure that we leave Ramadan forgiven for all that we did, with a way of life that is a complete transformation and which puts us on the success leading to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and His mercy for all of us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ.